So, we have been doing this teaching series through the book of Acts, and we just have this morning, and then in 2 weeks' time, and for our last one this year in the book of Acts, we got up to chapter 4 or thereabouts, and then in November, and it was really Chris's idea, we thought we'd do a series on overload. How many feel that? You know, like, you know how there can be information overload and work overload and stress and change overload, hurry and fatigue overload, media overload. Hands up, overload. So this was Chris's idea. And so we thought that we might do that as a series in November. And then in December we thought we'd go Catholic. And we'd do a series on Mary, leading up to Christmas. So that's where we're going over the next 2 months. In January, we're going feminist. In other words, we have a whole series of women teaching through January. Is that good? That's lowercase feminist, by the way. Not uppercase. So that's where we're going over the next 3 months. Should all be good. Should all be good. Okay? So, but for this morning, if you have your good book, you might like this ancient wisdom, this classical text that still speaks today. Your iPhones, your iPads. Let's do it. Acts chapter 4. And Glenn took us up to verse 23 last Sunday morning. So if we pick verse 22, so if we pick up on verse 23 of chapter 4, and it goes like this. So we're here to, are you ready? Let's do it. Verse 23. Now on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And that's where I want to finish it this morning, because I want to pick up on that final bit of that verse in 2 weeks' time where it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But for this morning, we'll finish, and the whole place where they were meeting was shaken. Okay, let's pray. Our God, we have come here this morning to be taught of you. Grant us ears to hear, hearts that are big to receive. May we sense something in this brief introduction this morning and in the testimonies that follow that will encourage us, strengthen us, and comfort us. We pray this, Lord, in your good name. Amen. Amen. Okay, friends, let me rip into this. On Tuesday mornings, when I get up, and I'm an early riser, I love to have a coffee. Okay, but when I have this coffee, I always have a blue mug. And then on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Friday, I do likewise, and I always have the blue mug. Do you get it? Now, on Saturday, when I get up, I have a different mug. So on Saturday, Sunday and Monday, I have a yellow mug that has a Vespa sign on it, because I have a little Vespa, you see. So you're picking up from this an oddball in front of you, I know. And I could relay a number of other things that would seem to signal to you that I'm a person of routine, you know. But you see, there are other times where I like to be a person of, where I can do random. Like, for example, on Friday, I was busily working away, completing my PhD. Yes, that's right. So, it hasn't been awarded yet. It may never be awarded, but at least I've done my bit. And then I get this text on my cell phone, and it's from someone in this church, and this person said, Mick, do you want to come out and join us in the barbecue tonight? Now, I had work to do. I had to get this manuscript to the editor by Saturday morning. But I thought, let's do random. So I said, yes, count me in, I'll be there. So Friday night, shot out to this person's place, and there was a number of us from this fellowship here, and we're just having a good time in a barbecue. So for me, that's kind of like doing random. Probably for you, that's just normal. But for me, it was kind of like doing random. And it was great, had a good time. And then I got back home, and I had to do a few more, a little bit more work, you see. So I have a question this morning. How many people are essentially routine here? No hands yet. And how many people here are random? Now, by routine, you love to do the predictable, you love to do the usual, you love to do routine, you love to do the conventional, you know, things follow, all that, rules. How many here love to do random? The unusual, the unexpected, the unpredictable, even the, you know, how many routine people essentially? How many random people essentially? Tell the person next to you which one you think you are. Okay. Okay, I wouldn't mind a show of hands on this one. How many routine people essentially in the room? Routine. How many randoms? It's almost three quarters to a quarter. Yeah, okay. So what we have in the story that we've been looking at now for some weeks actually is that we have both routine and random in the story around the guy that had been healed. So I just basically want to go back a little bit and bring us back to the text that we've got this morning. You see, there was a guy lying at the gate in this story, and he was crippled either in his feet, his legs, or his hips. And the text tells us that this guy had been crippled from birth. It was quite severe. So in those days, no safety net, no social welfare safety net. So he was very much dependent upon begging. So he's begging at this gate. He sees Peter and John coming by, and he puts his hand out to beg, and Peter says to him, "Ain't got no dough, but what I do have, I can give to you. In the name of Jesus, be healed." And then Jesus healed the guy, not Peter. Jesus healed the guy, okay? Now, so about 3 weeks ago, when I last spoke here, because since then we've had these two brilliant teachers that we've also got here, Wilson and Glenn, is that right? Yes. And so 3 weeks ago I was speaking on the topic of healing. And do you remember from 3 weeks ago I said that there's a church on the East Coast? In Napier, they're about 150, about our size. They would claim that six of their number had actually been healed of cancer. And they put that out in the media. So that could be verified. So they would claim that six of their number had actually been healed of cancer. 3 weeks ago, I also told you, remember that story about the young woman who was at a Christian meeting? And she just had this overwhelming impression that there was someone in their number. And on his left hand, he had two crushed knuckles, such that he couldn't kind of grab things. And she said, look, there is a guy like that in our midst, and God wants to heal you. And then the leader up front, this kind of broke the routine. And so he had to act and do random. And so he said, well, is there anybody? And there was. Someone had brought a friend, not a Christian. This friend came into the service, started mocking everything that was happening in the service. And he was fresh out of prison. And this you know, friend brought him along. And sure enough, on his left hand, he had two crushed knuckles. So he put his hand up, kind of with a swagger, you know. And so the leader said, come up to the front. And he came up to the front with a swagger. And then the leader said to the young girl, who was only in her teens, well, you're the one who kind of sensed this. You pray for him. Her legs went to jelly, you know. I practiced that. And her legs went to jelly, and she prayed for this guy. And as she prayed, it was like an electric, his body started to shake. It was like a tingling feeling, he said later on. And then there was like an electricity that shot down into his left arm. And then he heard a noise, and the two crushed knuckles then and there. This is random. This goes way out of the routines of life. Came back to full health. And you know what his response was? He started to profusely swear. I thought it was brilliant. He just couldn't believe it. I didn't tell you 3 weeks ago that there was a time when Ruby and I were living in the slums of Manila and I got amoebic dysentery. Anybody had that? Amoebic dysentery, and I was passing blood out of every orifice, as it were. And it was so bad that I couldn't attend a meeting that I had to go to that day of our team. So Ruby said, if you're still very sick when I get back, you are going to hospital. You know, she's like that, very bossy. And so she took off to the meeting. Halfway through, while she was away, everything suddenly stopped and I came back into full health straight away, immediately. Absolutely random. She came back and she said, you are looking so much better. She often says that. She said, you are looking so much better. And I said, yeah, I suddenly came right. And she said, what time was that? And I had an indication of what time it was. She said, that was the very time that we prayed for you as a team. I would claim that as a healing. Several months later, our little baby, Joseph, was very sick. And while he was in an intensive care unit and dying, we prayed for him a lot. And he was not healed. And he died. So what God does sometimes, he doesn't always do. He doesn't do all the time. Is that right? So therein lies a great mystery. So here in this passage, this guy, this was random. It broke the routine. And this guy was healed in this passage here. This is at the beginning of chapter 3. And you see, it was like the word got round in Jerusalem that this guy had been healed. And people were amazed. And they kind of said to one another, they said, wow, it's like there's a new answer. It's like there's a new solution. It's like there's a new way. It's like there's a new leader in town. And he goes by the name of Jesus. Now, there were another group of people that saw the guy who had been healed, and they didn't like it. And this is what Glenn was picking up so well last Sunday morning. And they didn't like this healing, this new leader, this new solution, this new way. They just didn't like it. Why? Because they were into power and control. These other people, as Glenn brought out last week, they had an agenda. In fact, they wanted to set the agenda for their lives and other people's lives. They wanted their routine. They didn't want a random, unexpected thing to happen, like Jesus, to break in, break through. They didn't want that. So they were into power and control and setting the agenda for their own lives. And so then they had Peter and John taken to the Sanhedrin. Now the Sanhedrin was like a court, but they did court quite differently from how we do court today. There are no lawyers in this story. No lawyers. Do you like that? Is anyone a lawyer here this morning? Oh, there's one. We'll pray for him later. Okay. There are no lawyers in the Sanhedrin. Do you know how they did it? If there were two people who were accused of something, they had to gather in front of a group like this. And then if there are other people who saw them doing something, the witnesses, they also gathered in front of a group like this. And then in the proceedings, anybody out there in a group like this could ask questions and drill down. That's how they did court. There were no attorneys, no lawyers. So Peter and John were put in front of a group like this, good Baptists, and drilled and grilled. That's how they did it. And it was intimidating. It was really threatening. But as Glenn brought out last week, you know, they just had a few things to share, and one of them was Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. He's still alive. And what he did before he died, he still does today. This is basically what Peter and John said. It's incredible. And so they could see that these guys were just, you know, sharing from the heart. So they let them go. And then we pick up where we're in our text. And what? So they let them go. And then it says, on their release, verse 23, Peter and John went back to where? It says here, they went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. I love that verse. The first thing they did upon being released was they went to their own people. And you know, when I read this, I thought, that's you guys. This is something that you are really good at. When something happens to you, I've only been here just over a year and a half, 20 minutes. And when I've noticed in my brief time here that when something happens to one of you, you go to people here. And you go to people. It's not as though you go straight to God. You go to people. Do you know, I had this person from this fellowship a couple of weeks ago. And this person had a slight cancer scare. And so this person on their way back from work, I'm disguising everything, but this person just sent me a text and said, oh, can I pop in? And so this person just popped in and we just talked about it. It was just great. And that's what you guys are really good at. And I'm learning from you in this area. That when something happens, you go to each other. I mean, that's why I don't agree with that song where it says, all I need is Jesus. I think that is wrong. I think we need each other. There's a whole lot of stuff other than Jesus that we actually need. Is that right? We need Hilux surfs and fishing. And we need each other. And you're good at this. Are you good at this? I mean, I get an email yesterday from, again, someone in this fellowship. And this person said, oh, look, one of the mums in our young mums crew, one of their daughters has come down with leukemia. So this person in this email, one of us, says, oh, I'm going to go. So you're really good at this, going to each other. Could you rub each other on the back and give yourselves a pat on the front? You're good at this. Here we go. But they didn't stop there. They didn't just nestle into each other. What was the next thing that we noticed in the text here? It says that Peter and John went to the people. Yes, great. Nestled into each other. And then when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to to God. So they also leaned into Jesus and prayed. Absolutely brilliant. They prayed. And then after they prayed, because in their prayer was brilliant, basically their prayer was this: Jesus, we want you to continue to heal people, continue to forgive people, continue to change people, continue to do what you can only do. Jesus, you've seen what we can do and it ain't much. Show us what you can do. This was the prayer. It's absolutely brilliant. I feel that all the time, you know. I say to Jesus, well, Jesus, you've seen what I can do and ain't that much. Now you show me what you can do. Is that right? So this was their prayer. And then it says, what happened next? The house, it shook. So there was a house shaking, not a house party. It was a house shaking. Now, house shaking, that is a very unusual sign, a house shaking. Now, this is my main point this morning, and this is the testimonies for soon. They prayed, and straight away, there was a what? A house shaking. It happened at the very time that they'd finished their prayer. So that's a very unusual sign, a house shaking. So what's the big deal about a house shaking? Do you know what that did? It reminded them that God was with them. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, and over a weird thing, like a house shaking. But the thing was, it wasn't just about the house. There was something deep going on, that God was with them. It was a reminder of his presence. So, I want you to watch this video clip, and we see the same thing occurring here. You watch. Some of you have seen this, but it's so good, watch it again. Thanks, Fiona.
But prayer not only changes us, it also changes situations. And I think it's worth saying here, I don't think it's possible to prove to the cynic, to the skeptic, okay, here's a list of answered prayers. There you go, proof that God exists. I don't think it would work like that. Having said that, I have seen a lot of, if you like, coincidences when I have prayed. And all of my experience leads me to actually, on balance, believe, yes, prayer is real and it works. It changes things. One of the most sort of obvious examples to me, I remember a few years ago, my wife and I were driving around this beaten up old car, Ford Orion, sort of like holding it together as we sort of drove down the road. So it was one of those kind of cars. And we didn't really have enough money to get a new car, and yet this thing was falling apart and we needed to get around. And my wife was over on the East Coast visiting her sister, and she phoned me up and she said, the car has died. It is dead. The breakdown people, they've fixed it. They've said that it'll do a few more miles, but it really needs to be scrapped. I was like, oh, great. So I said, okay, come to church tonight. It was a Wednesday. I said, come to the Alpha course tonight, because she wasn't on it, but I said, drive up. It was before we had kids, and so we didn't leave the kids at home. And she drove in, and I said, well, what we'll do is we'll drive up to your parents up north, and we'll go to a car auction. We'll gather together whatever money we have, see what we can buy. And so she comes along to the church that evening. And of course, we're praying. We're like, Lord, we haven't got the money for a new car. What are we going to do? And at the church that night, this woman comes up to me, who I didn't really know that well, I have to be honest. And she said to me, she goes, have you got a car? And I'm thinking, it's rubbish. Do I say, I've got to be honest, yeah, we've got a car. And she says, well, I don't know what it is, but I was praying, and I feel like I should give you mine. And I'm like, what is it? No, I was. And so she says, would you like it? And I'm like, I can't believe it. Just prayed, we've been praying, but the timing of this, we were just about to drive and go and get another car with what we... And she gave us her car. And it was the most cool car, and it was brilliant for years to come, until we had to get a really naff family car. But there you go. It's a sad tale. But, you know, that's a wonderful story. But I'm not alone in that. I've heard story after story after story of people saying the same thing about God's provision and God hearing and changing situations, whatever those situations might be. But I would say, you know, don't take my word for it. Talk to God yourself. See what happens.
Thanks. Great story, eh? So, and it wasn't, that story is not about the car. I mean, it is partly about the car, but I mean, what was he rapt about? That God was? That God was with him. Have you ever noticed that? You know, like something happens and it's not the unusual thing that actually happens, but like the house shaking here, or like getting a car, but there's something deeper. It's like, wow, God is actually with me. He's present. He is with me. You know, I think I shared this last year. So for those who heard it in the evening service, bear with me. But when we were first going up to Manila, I bought something at duty free, and it was a cassette tape recorder. And because I wanted this cassette tape recorder to get shortwave and all this kind of stuff, so when we were lodged in the slums of Manila, we could still listen to, you know, sports and cricket and rugby back here and all that kind of stuff. So this was my prized possession. So got this tape recorder, went up to Manila, and got into this routine, which, you know, I'm about sometimes. And my routine in the evening was to just have a spend of time, a time of prayer in the evening with Jesus, and then go to bed. Okay. And then on Saturdays in the afternoon, I would turn on this tape recorder and listen to sport, usually out of Australia. So, you know, I was hard up, but I'd listen to anything. And so I'd listen to this sport coming out of Australia on Saturdays. There was one particular night that as I was praying, I had this real sense that Jesus was asking me to take the tape recorder that I had from the shelf on the wall, take it off the shelf, and put it on the coffee table in front of me before I went to bed. How I got that impression, well, hey, but I did. So being a person who's relentlessly responsive, before I went to bed, I did the random. I took the cassette tape recorder off from the shelf and I put it on the coffee table in the middle of the room. Went to bed. Following morning, woke up. There was a huge hole in the wall next to where the shelf was. And someone, knowing that that brand new cassette tape recorder was on the shelf, had made a hole in the plywood wall. So you didn't need a pneumatic drill, made a hole in the plywood wall to put their arm around and to grab the cassette tape recorder. What they didn't know was that God got there first. And they couldn't reach down far enough to get it off the coffee table. And that is unusual. That's like the house shaking. That's like the car. Are you with me? That's unusual. That's an unusual sign. But it's an unusual sign of what? That the God at the center of the universe is super concerned about tape recorders? No, that's not what it's about. What is it about? You see, I personally, in the slums, needed a powerful reminder that God was with me. And I believe that there are some of us in this room, and you too have received powerful reminders that actually God is with you in your place. Can you come with me to Genesis chapter 28? Okay, just to finish. Genesis 28, a great story here. Genesis 28 and verse 10. Have you got it? It goes like this. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, as you do, he put it under his head for a pillow. You know, sometimes you go to hotels and motels and don't the pillows feel like a stone? So, you know, this is quite relevant. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream that night in which he saw a stairway to heaven. Isn't there a song, Uriah Heep or something? Oh, you're way before your time, sorry. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Oh, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Now, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, whoa, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I mean, it's just a brilliant story. People, God is in your kitchen and you did not know it. God is in your workplace and you did not know it. God is in your shed and you did not know it. God is in your street and you did not know it. God is in your bedroom and you did not know it. God is in your backyard and you did not know it. God fills every location. He is in every meeting. He is in every moment. He is in every millimeter of space. And we did not know it until those unusual times when he gives us a sign that he is with us. Isn't this great? He is in every meeting, moment, and millimeter of space. And we did not know it until he gives us a reminder of his powerful presence. Have you heard of the Navajo Indians? You know, the indigenous people of America. You know, when a kid reaches the age of 13, a boy, and they've done the hunting, they've done the fishing, and they've done the scouting, what does then a 13-year-old boy have to do? He's taken blindfolded out into the wilderness, and then he has to stay there overnight in a wild place with all the wild animals. So there was this little boy, and he was escorted out, this is what they do, into the desert, blindfolded, and then just left there. He takes off the blindfold and he just looks around in this desert of a place, and he is absolutely scared. And then as he sits there in the darkness of the night, every time he hears a twig being broken, he thinks it's a wild animal. And every time he hears a noise, he thinks it's the wolves that are coming. I mean, just absolutely frightening. It's a test of life for him, but it's frightening. And then this particular 13-year-old boy, he wakes up in the dawn the following morning after just a fear-filled night, and he looks around, and he sees the flowers, the bushes, the trees, and then he sees a few millimeters away a man with a bow and an arrow. And he looks closer, and it was his father. And his father had been there all night, but he didn't know it. Did you get this? Now God is with you. You know, there are some messages that I bring, and they're full of instruction maybe, and even sometimes correction and rebuke. I just felt this morning, actually, to give a message that's full of comfort in encouragement, in strengthening for you and me. We all need powerful reminders that God is in our space and place. He's with us. To finish, I was in Dunedin a few months ago, and it was Saturday morning, and I thought, oh, I might as well go and get the paper from the corner store. So it's really cold, put on the jackets and so on, and I started walking towards the store. And as I was walking along this road in Dunedin, I saw a guy come out of his place. At the very time I was passing him, he was coming out, or passing his place, he was coming out. And I said, you know how you do? G'day. He said, g'day. And I had all staunch. And then he joined me, and we walked to the store together. And we were just talking away, and we understood it though. And then we got to the store and we both got our newspapers, and then we both came out of the store together, and I said, oh, do you want to walk back together? We'll just walk back together, because we're both going in the same direction. So walking, and we started to talk a little bit. And then eventually he said to me, oh, and what do you do? And I thought, here we go. So I said, oh, I'm a pastor of a church. And he just went, hallelujah, And I thought, is he mocking me or what's going on there? So I thought I'd change the topic. So I did notice that he had a hole in the back of his head, actually. He had this, cavernous thing. So I said, what's that? You've got a hole in the back of your head. And he said, oh, yeah, I've had tumors. And so I've had a bit of a rough time. I thought, gosh, okay. Then we got to outside his place, and he said, look, I need to tell you something. And I said, what's that? And he said, I used to be a Christian about 25 years ago. And then some things happened in my life, and I thought, well, stuff it. There can't be a God. God's not real. So he started to tell me his story, and he said, I just chucked it all in and took to the bottle, and I've been doing a lot of elbow bending lately, knocking it back. And then he said, you won't believe this, but just the other day this week, I decided to return to God. And I was intending to go back to church tomorrow. And who do I meet the very time of my decision? A pastor. And it was like, for him, a powerful reminder that God was with him. So I said to him, then and there on the street, should we pray? So then and there, with traffic going by, I laid my hands on his head like this. Didn't really go with the routine. Slightly random, but I just felt to do it, and I just prayed for this guy. But for him, it was like a powerful reminder of God's presence in his life. Are you with me? So God fills your every meeting, your every moment, your every millimeter of space. I think it's awesome. They prayed and the house shook. It wasn't about the house shaking. It wasn't about the car. It's not about the tape cassette recorder. It's just a reminder that God is with us. Have you had some of those experiences? So now we need to hear from you. Who would like to be the first? We've got Marcy there. Marcy, I'll give you the mic. Just briefly though, Marcy. I know you love to talk. But you've got to keep it short for the sake of other people. Okay. There you are.
First of all, thank you guys. As it hasn't been easy for me over the last coming weeks as a blind and vision impaired person after the passing of my mum, and just thank you once again for your support and the provisions that you guys and God has given to me So thank you, Mick, for your comforting message this morning, and thank you ever so much, guys. Thank you.
Oh, great. So Marcy lost her mum. And, yeah.
Bless you, sister.
Anybody had a kind of a coincidental thing that reminded you, you thought, wow, God is in this place and I did not know it? Okay, we've got Di and we've got Chels here. Chels, you go first.
I don't really like public speaking, so I'm going to be head down.
Yeah.
So this is more about how it reminded me that God's always with us when I wasn't even thinking about him really on a day. But my friend was an atheist, or is an atheist, and didn't really know about God, but she knew how strong we were in God. And one day I was just sitting on the couch and I felt God saying, call Melanie. So random, popped into my head, call it what you will, and I phoned her house and her, I said names, but you don't know them. And then her partner said to me, no, Melanie's not here, she's out with the kids. And then I thought, okay, hold on a second, God, you told me to call her, something's not right. So I phoned her on her mobile and I say, hey, Melanie, how are you? She said, I'm good. And then into my head again pops something and I says, have you just had a big argument? And this hasn't happened before, she hadn't told me about it, but yeah. And then she says, did my partner tell you? And I says, no, not at all. And I says, to be honest, you know, God told me. And she's not a God follower, so it's a bit strange for her. And then I says, and I thought, oh God, you know, you're great, you just told me to call her. But then there was more to the story, because I said, talk to her for a little bit. And I says, you know, how are things, you know, you okay? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I said, hey, look, Melanie, another thing dropped into my head. Would you like to come out? I'm just here, I've got a roast on, would you like to come and hang out? And she says to me, you know what? She says, this is going to sound a bit strange, but I'm parked on the side of the road. I was on my way to your house, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to turn up, and it felt kind of strange, you know? So I'm here with my children at the playground. Halfway there, I says, all right, we'll jump back in the car and head out. And from that moment, she got to see someone who wasn't even looking for God, or maybe she was, but she got to see how amazing he was. And it wasn't a coincidence, you know, because they don't exist. So, it reminded me how amazing it is.
Yeah, so. That is awesome, Chels. Di, do you want to come up and grab the mic? Yeah. So we need a few more people after Di, so keep thinking of those reminders for you. Yeah.
Oh, my situation actually happened when my youngest son was about a year and a half old. And he was just at the, you know, potty training stage, and I was driving to my dad's place on the back roads of Papakura. My dad lived out at Bombay. And Josh said he needed to go to the toilet. Now, I knew he didn't. He'd been just before we left home. But, you know, the one way to get a mum to stop a car is one of the kids needs to go to the toilet. And then we had this conversation, and I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, you do. So anyway, so I thought, right, stop the car. And I got the potty out. You know, you carry the potty around the back of the car when you've got little kids. Stuck him on it, and he didn't need to go, and I knew he hadn't needed to go. Anyway, so I was a bit ticked, you know, so I stuck him back in his car seat, knew he didn't need to go. Anyway, went to drive off, and the whole front end of the car fell off. Like, fell off. So I had no wheels. If that had happened, going 100 kilometres an hour on the back roads of Papakura, I would have been history, and so would all of my kids, and I just knew that was God.
Yeah.
God got me to stop the car just at that point. And, yeah, so we're here today to tell the story, and I just knew that was God.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So, again, these are unusual signs. House shaking is unusual. Is that right? Wheels in the front of a car falling off. That's pretty weird. Yeah. But they're a powerful reminder. Anybody else got one of these unusual stories? Yeah. Mark, come up the front, mate. Coincidences, unusual stories. Okay, Mark. Speak into the mic, eh?
I've got a lot of personal experiences with Jesus.
Yeah. Give us one.
Eh?
Give us one. Yeah.
Just one.
Yep.
Okay. Well, when I was in Eastgate, I was fellowshipping, and we were going to a home group, a men's group in Eastern Beach, and that was some years ago. And I was complaining to my Jesus, saying my car is keeping its... It's breaking down a lot.
Yeah.
And so it was raining one night. It was Friday night. It was raining cats and dogs, and I was going home back to Howick because it was quicker to go home to Howick. It was only just down the road from where the camp was, and Eastern Beach. And so I'm going home, stopped to give way, and this brand new car ploughed straight into me. It was about 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night, raining cats and dogs,
yeah.
And ploughed straight into me and wrote me off. And I was able to just get the car home. And what happened then was I started praying more. And anyway, the car got written off, of course, and I got a little bit of insurance for the car. And then I was able to sell the car again, and so I got a bit more on that. And then I started walking to the nearest car place, you know, in Howick.
Yeah.
And happened to go to Howick, what was the Howick sales place there, and there was a car there for sale, a little white car which I've got now, and I said to that Jagger, I think there wasn't that car for sale somewhere else in Henderson for a much lower price. And he said, oh, well, go through the Heralds and see if you can, you know, see if you can find that information about that. And so it took me, had all the Heralds on a massive big pile there. I went through it and found it eventually, and proved to him that the price was overpriced in Henderson, and Howick, or vice versa. It was cheaper in Henderson, and the price in Howick was dearer. So he dropped the price down $3,000, and I got it for $6,000 instead of $9,000.
So your reminder for you of God's presence was?
I believe in Philippians 4:19.
Which is?
My God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Wow, you finished that well. Okay, thanks a lot.
Anybody else got a story here? Yeah, Jules, and we got Faith. Yeah, Jules, come up the front. Nice to have you here.
Yeah.
There you are, friend. Yeah.
There you are. I found my work walk. I've dot. Yeah.
That is great. Yeah, thank you, Jules. Always nice to have Jules here. And we had someone here, Faith. Lisa, did you have an iPad story or something? I think you shared at another service. Do you mind? That'd be great, yeah.
This is not spectacular. It's about being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And I have lots of stories. Yeah. Lots and lots. I'm an old lady.
Yeah,
but
on.
I'll just tell you one.
Yeah, get on.
And I have a young friend who is a missionary in Thailand, and often if I had a holiday, I would make a point of dropping that, going that way and spending some time with her. Now, on one occasion, often I did help with embroidery and, you know, helping the things for the Hmong people to sell and all that. That I had this in my mind that I would call in again and I would be helpful. I would do something. And when I got there, you won't believe this, I sat down for 3 days and I listened. And I hardly said a word. Oh. And I listened and for 3 whole days of my stopover. And when I came away, I knew, you know, that dear lady, she needed somebody to talk to. She was on her own, out in the tribal people. And it was just, God said, I wanted you there right now.
Wow. So thank you, Faith.
Yeah.
And like, it was like Dave and Kat. I thought both your stories were brilliant. Dave seeing the rainbow, and at that time, Kat praying that Dave would have a reminder. And then Kat, your story about that little girl. Isn't that remarkable that she ended up getting tactile stuff because she was impaired? I mean, that is just so random. I mean, but I think it's just remarkable, yeah. Joe, you had something, yeah. Yeah.
This happened a long time ago when I was first nannying, and I've always been a bit of a nervous driver, always. And I had to take the kids to Wadianga because they had chicken pox and they gave their dad shingles, and he was very, very sick. So I took them to stay with their grandparents, and on our way there we had to drive through the windy gorge roads, and there was some roadworks, and coming up, I was the first one in line at the stop-go sign, and I couldn't see around the bend. It was windy to the other end, and anyway, they had their walkie-talkies, the road worker people. And so the sign turned around, and it was time for me to go. And I started to go forward, and then this white, just old, beat-up car, it wasn't anything exciting, started to head for me. And so I veered right over to the right-hand side of the road, because there's, you know, gorge dropping off. And anyway, just as I veered past, that car went past, and then another dark blue car came shooting down really fast straight after that car. And the road worker guys came over, because I'd stopped the car, and I was freaking out. And he goes, "What made you veer over to the right? You could have been killed," because I'd just, you know, done this dash over. And I was like, "The white car." And he goes, "There was no white car. There was only a blue car." And as it transpired, at the other end around the corner part, a blue car had just gone right through the stop sign, and I'd seen a white car and avoided it, and me and the kids were fine, but there had only been a blue car. So that was my story.
Yeah, thanks, Jo. I think I got it. Thanks, Jo. Do you mind, Lisa? Yeah. I heard this a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it would just fitted the... Yeah.
It's more of an obedience type story.
Yeah.
But it's kind of embarrassing. I got an iPad for my birthday, and it was sitting there, and I was looking at it, and I just felt that I shouldn't open it. I felt that God was like saying to me that I shouldn't have it. Maybe you can understand that or not. But Alex was like, open it, just open it. I want you to use it. And so I opened it, and it still didn't feel right. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? So I prayed about it, and I was like, I knew I didn't need to pray about it because I knew what the answer was, that God wanted me to get rid of it. So I was like, well, I can't get rid of it. It was a present, and trying to justify it. But, yeah, I just had that strong feeling that I shouldn't keep it. So anyway, prayed about it and got rid of it, effectively. It's... I can't remember the exact part that you were talking about, but that was more of an act of, like, just a strong feeling of knowing that I wasn't meant to have it for the sake of my family or for the sake of whatever. Anyway, we replaced it with something else.
Yeah.
But I have another story.
Yeah, go for it.
About the scarf, actually, which also might seem trivial, but I lose it all the time, and it's really annoying. My mum knows all about it. I'm always asking her where it is. And this particular time, I was like, God, I keep losing this scarf, because it was a present when I was in Singapore. And I prayed about it, and a house popped into my head, and I called that person, and they had my scarf.
Whoa.
So I was just in like 5 minutes after about 3 weeks of looking for it everywhere, I found it. So
that's
I like to think that was God
like
helping me out in small things. So
That is awesome. Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Yeah, so no one else to finish. Oh, Paul, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of real quickies, actually. Many years ago, I think before we were Christians, Pam and I went to see a guy, and during the course of talking to him, for some reason I was thinking about God. And then I had this thought that I knew that this guy knew that I was thinking about God. And so I spoke to him and asked him, and he did. And he knew that I was thinking about God, and we sort of had a bit of a conversation around that. Another quick one, which I walked into the lounge a few years ago now. There was a rugby game on, and I just had this score come into my head. And this just told me that God really is everywhere. And I just knew that the score was the final score in this rugby game. And it was early in the game, there was very few points on the board. Finished up to be quite a reasonably high scoring game, and sure enough, I didn't sit down and watch the rugby game totally, but I did come back later, and sure enough, that was the final score. But that just told me that God really is everywhere and in everything.
Did you put money on it?
No.
Yes, nice to hear. Yeah, it'd be great. We'll make this the last. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name's Simone. We had some business friends of ours who were showing us through a house one time that they had for people that worked for them. And they were showing us through this house, and it was a beautiful home on beautiful grounds, and I was just walking through thinking, and I was only thinking to myself, I wasn't praying. And I just said to myself, I just love, why can't we have a house like this? And a year later, those same friends just gave us that house to live in for 3 years. Yeah, and it was just amazing. So it was a beautiful home on beautiful grounds, and it was a tough time for me at that time, and it was just a real place of peace and restoration. So it was awesome.
Amazing. Don't you? Thanks. Do you know when you hear all of these stories, you think, boy, I wish I knew their God? Let's finish the service. Let's stand up. Yeah. Okay. Can we all hold hands? Yeah. Do the friendly, feely, non-South Auckland. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just so fascinated by Jacob's story where he said, well, and God was in this place and I did not know it. And then later on he said, it's such an awesome place. And it seems as though our kitchens, our garages, our workplaces, our streets, our houses can all be awesome places. Because you were there. Help us to know it. Help us to know it. Grant some of us here a powerful reminder that you are with us. There are some here, Lord, who desperately need that reminder. Grant them that, Lord, in your mercy and your compassion. And for all of us, as we go from here, give us eyes to see and hearts to experience you in every location of our lives. In your wonderful name. And we all said, amen. God bless you, friends. Yeah. See you tonight.